We're talking about takeoffs today, and we actually just got through talking about how you might approach beginning your takeoffs and what sort of method you... Hello, YouTube. Thanks for tuning in to the Profit Dig Show. We're talking about takeoffs today, and we actually just got through talking about how you might approach beginning your takeoffs and what sort of method you might use throughout the whole process. If you find our content useful, feel free to like, share, subscribe. You know, any publicity is good publicity.
Yeah, that's right.
If you feel compelled to post in the comments, feel free to do that as well.
Absolutely.
We'd love to hear what topics you guys would like to cover.
Yep. Any questions you might have?
Yeah, might do a video over it.
That's right.
That's right.
Yep.
All right. Jeff Givens, thank you. Spencer. Yeah.
Thank you all.
Pleasure. Producer Jerry Work. Good to see you.
Right.
All right.
And Chris Work.
Yes, Chris.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so we were just talking about takeoff, and I was really wondering what the next step is. So obviously you've gone through and you've calculated what your believed materials are.
My quantities.
Your quantities. Yeah. Is it a good idea, maybe before you start, if you just look through the drawings and you make kind of like an outline of the different sections of the takeoff that you're going to go through? Is that common practice?
Should be, yes. You won't be familiar with all aspects of the job. You like we talked about a while ago, you know, which point out coming into contact, you know, with other utilities that may be there or may be there before you are. And even if they're not there, you need to be aware enough of your drawings in a project. You know, I always, like I said a while ago, I always try to start even on the job site. When I start work, I always start my deepest utility first. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a standard, but you can't always do that. If something happens you can't do that, you need to be aware of any conflicts you may have before you get there. You may have to do the same situation, even though there's not a pipe there yet, there's one coming mm-hmm. through. So you need to be proactive and go ahead and figure in your price that, you know, you've got to enter to do that.
Yeah. Even if you don't know where it's going to be.
Right. By the time you do it, you will know. You know, you'll be able to look at your grading drawings for your storm drain. You'll be able to look at your sewer drawings for your sanitary. And anywhere that, you know, your water line, if you got to start on that first, if there's going to be a conflict with either one of those, then you need to go ahead and dip down, put your bends mm-hmm. in, and lower your line. That way, there won't be any conflict when you come through there with that sanitary or that storm drain. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe existing, you know, telephone, fiber optic, gas line, you know, there's stuff that could be existing on any job that you may come in contact with as well. So you need to look at possible conflicts with existing utilities from start to finish. They may not give you the depth on those in your drawings. So you kind of play it by ear and say, you know, well, I may not have to go under this, but there's a chance I may. So better be safe than sorry. Go ahead and figure, you know, going under that line and what it's going to take to get under it.
And that's why it's important to note which document revision you're right. working from. Yeah,
anytime when I do my takeoff, I transfer my data that I figured up on here to a legal pad. Yeah. Put in a process there, you know, to where start to finish. I write it down. The very first thing I do is list the job name, the mm-hmm. date I'm bidding this job. I list my engineer's record on top. I list the plan sheet numbers, you know, maybe it's C600 through C8.25, whatever it may be. I list that on my notes, and I also list the date on the drawings or the last revision date. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That way, there's no question about what I bid on. So if anybody says, you know, what documents were you looking at when you bid this project, you can pull up your notes and say, hey, my date was 9/26/22.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have conveniently in the Profit Dig application a place for you to enter
yep.
the revision for the draws, yep. the date on the drawings.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, you can document all of that on your bid. Mm-hmm.
So you've gone through, you've added these quantities to your legal pad. What comes next?
Well, first, before we get into what comes next, we talk about it early on before we start recording. A lot of times when they revise drawings, there may be multiple revisions mm-hmm. on a set of drawings. Well, you see these clouded areas. These clouded areas are changes that's been made since the last document you looked at. And in those clouded areas, there'll be a little triangle with a number, 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever it may be. In this instance right here, we got a 1, a 2, and a 2. So it don't show it on here, but if you go back to the second page on these drawings, it shows the clouded areas that's been affected, and it gives you the description in that 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever it may be, tells you what those changes, what brought those about. So I give you a little more clarification on how you need to prepare your price. But now my next step, once we have all this information in, then I take all of my quantities, and then I go to my computer and I pull a profit dig. At that point, as I'm doing this job, you know, don't ever think you're wasting time by looking at drawings. You're not. Look at those drawings. Know it. When I look at a set of drawings, even when I'm doing my takeoff, I'm immediately start thinking about how I see this job going in. What's my production rate's going to be? How many other contractors are going to be working around me? Mm-hmm. You know, this is a big site, so it tells me I'm going to have a lot of room. I can put this in a little faster pace than normal because I'm not going to be confined to working around multiple contractors right on mm-hmm. top of them like a small site. So I'm going to have a really good production rate on this. But there again, be conservative. You know, if you think you can get, you know, 500-600 feet of pipe a day, I may reel mine into, you know, 400-500 feet a day. Mm-hmm. You know, just because there's going to be an issue that's going to slow you up, you know.
Yep.
And you want to give your guys the opportunity to produce for you. Mm-hmm. You know, don't never push your guys to the limit, expect that they can do all they can do on every job, because it's not going to happen. There's going to be stuff that comes up. So, yeah, theoretically, I think I can get this amount of footage, but I'm going to check it back a little bit, you know, 10 to 15%, mm-hmm. just to make sure they can reach, I give them a reachable goal.
Yeah, absolutely. And a little financial protection as well.
Right. And it's going to look bad on your guys. If you're a project manager and an estimator, it's going to really look bad on your guys if you keep pushing them to the limit and they can't produce because you're trying to get everything you can get out of them every day, mm-hmm. and you're winning bid after bid after bid. Mm-hmm. That's because you got your labor too cheap. You're pushing your guys too hard, and they mm-hmm. can't produce that. Mm-hmm. And then every time you do a P&L, you're going to be over budget on your labor.
Yeah, and I think in the past you've mentioned that, yeah. you know, maybe 10. You should win maybe 10% of your jobs, because yeah. if you're winning too many, you're too yeah. cheap.
If you're getting 25 to 30% of the jobs you bid or more, then you're too cheap.
Well, and if you maintain being over budget on labor, well, then you have to reduce your labor.
Right.
And then you're going in the wrong direction.
Right, exactly. And your guys, you know, I mean, theoretically, over time, you know, you're going to try to give them a cost of living raise, mm-hmm. you know, on an annual basis. You sure. know, you're going to evaluate them, and if they're doing good, you know, you want to give them a little bump in pay. Mm-hmm. Well, that means you got to raise your pricing in the next bid process. And you get to a point to where you price yourself out. I mean, you may be paying your guys really well, and it may be hard. Well, at that point, you know, you got to tell your guys, like, hey, we're not getting any work. I'm trying to pay you all I can pay you. I'm going to need y'all to start getting a little more production, because I've got to speed my production up to be able to make money. Because paying you the labor wages I'm paying you right now, I can't pick up any work when we're too high.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody I talk to, we're coming in second, third, fourth, you know, so I've got to speed up my production. But, you know, let your guys know what you expect out of them. If they come back and say, you know, hey, we can't do it, you know, there's no way we can do that, then you might have to talk to them like, you know, well, we may have to, you know, start doing something, cutting out overtime, or may have to reduce your wages by a certain percentage until we get the market to where we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
That usually doesn't go over that
well. It doesn't go well. Yeah.
No one wants to have that conversation.
No.
But if you're paying a fair market wage, then you should be right there with everybody else.
Pretty competitive. Sure.
Should be competitive, yeah.
Well, yeah, if you're doing things properly
right.
in this stage.
But if we were all bidding against each other on a job, the winner of that job, you know, I've always said this before, if you do a good takeoff, your materials are irrelevant.
Right, because we're all paying the same.
We're all going to pay roughly within 2 or 3% of what material costs are.
Not large enough to make a break, yeah.
So where we win or lose jobs is how each one of us individually sees that job going in our production rates.
Yeah.
So when you win a job or you lose a job, it's generally based on equipment and labor and fuel.
Yep. Yep. You know, it's funny. You know, you get all of these highly detailed drawings, lots and lots of paper, but it's the intangibles.
Right.
That applies to a lot of industries that can really make a break. So
how do you take this into your bid? How do you start using this information from your takeoff to just start creating your bid?
Well, like I said a while ago, I look at it from the start of how I'm going to put this job in. So I go down, I pull up Profit Dig, I put my job in. Most of the time I got my job in before I ever start, you know, entering my data. So I go in, I pick my crews that I'm, you know, going to use on this project, which I just have a mock crew that I use because depending on timing when this job starts, the crew I want to use may not be available. Mm,
sure.
So I take a mock crew that's kind of an average of all the crews we have. I'll use them to bid my work with. So I start using the information I took off here. I put in my material cost per bid item.
Mm-hmm.
I put in my labor and equipment and those crews. It's already in there set up. So I just figure out the time. And then I enter my time it's going to take to do this scope of work. Then I move to my next bid item. Do the same thing on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a process, you know, over and over and over. Put in your material cost. Put in your labor production rates. And then, you know, when you get done, you should have a good bid you feel good about. You know, if you have something you're not for sure about, you know, we have it set up in Profit Dig where you can go back in there and you can add contingencies to any bid item.
Mm-hmm.
You can add it to the whole job, put on any bid item. You can adjust your profit margin and overhead margin per bid item. You know, it still doesn't affect your overall
percentages,
but you know, for that bid item, you can change them a little bit, you know, if you're a little bit uncertain.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, don't be afraid to elevate, you know, a bid item if you're not 100% sure. But there again, like we talked about before, qualify your bid based on your concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, I bid this, you say it's a pump station, a sewer pump station. It's like, you know, hey, I've bid this according to the drawings. Something's not adding up. I think there's going to be some changes on this, but this is the bid specifically on this sheet dated such and such on what the engineers gave us.
Mm-hmm.
Anything other than that will be addressed with a change order.
Exactly. Right. And to that point, you know, bid by revision. I mean,
yeah.
Profit Dig, build your bid out based on this revision on this date.
Right.
Then clone that bid once the next available revision becomes available to you. So, yeah.
And you're talking about cloning. I mean, that's another good thing, too. You know, you may have 4 or 5 contractors that you're bidding to. So, I mean, you have the ability to clone that bid and just change the address, you know, who you're addressing it to,
mm-hmm.
and you've got another bid proposal there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing is just making it efficient.
Yeah.
So, well.
It's great info.
Gentlemen, yeah. It's good stuff.
Yes,
as
sir.
As always. Producer Jerry.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jerry's hard at work this evening, guys. I don't know if you can see him or not.
Yeah.
I can't see you, so I'm not sure. But he is documenting all of this to help improve some technical things in our YouTube channel.
We'd like y'all to come watch some
with our
videos.
Editors, so
just
come watch some videos.
Always
yeah.
working
yeah.
to improve the quality
always working
of
to
our
improve
content.
The quality we deliver to you. So
yeah.
So subscribe to the channel, like the videos, comment or something. It's bugging you, is there anything we can help with? We want to.
Check us out at ProfitDig.com.
ProfitDig.com.
Thank you, guys.
See you next time.
See y'all.
Later.